You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome to Out of the Blue from Maize and Brew, part of the SB Nation Podcast Network, the podcast that clings to life despite the inadequacies of the Big Ten Conference. I am Jared Stormer of MaizeandBrew.com. With me, as always, is Andy Bailey, my hetero life mate. Andy, you fledgling sea egret. How the hell are you, my friend?
I am doing well, sir. Feels great to be back talking again while the game we chose is almost not worth talking about, but it'll be fun to make jokes about.
My goodness, yes. So there is college football, just not the college football that we care about. So we are continuing with our Game Rewind series. What did you call it last time? Maize in View?
Maize in View, sir.
I like it. I like it. We're going to have to institute that and put some trademarks out. So in lieu of Michigan football, we're going back and looking at some old Michigan football, some of the classics. Still no word on whether or not we're going to be playing. And at this point, I'm just not getting my hopes up because the reporting goes back and forth. So we're gonna stay the course.
We're going to keep plugging along, and no better way to keep this tradition going by talking about the 500th game ever played at the Big House.
Yes, sir. So last week we went with a really excellent game, a pure classic, great football, 2003 Michigan versus Ohio State. It was really just a masterclass in football on both sides. So we decided to follow that up with maybe the worst game ever played by two football programs, the 2008 Michigan versus Wisconsin comeback win by the Wolverines, 500th game at the Big House, Rich Rod's third game at Michigan, and I don't want to curse on air. I'm going to try not to, but after watching this game, it's going to be very difficult.
Yeah, it was not fun to watch. Michigan will never play a game this bad again and beat a top 10 team. It's impossible to watch. Wisconsin came into the game ranked number 9. They were 3-0. Michigan 1-2. Both teams didn't fare too well after this. Wisconsin finished 7-6, and Michigan finished 3-9, which is the worst mark ever for a Michigan team.
Yep. That is correct, and deservedly so. This was not a very good team. Rich Rod comes in, and if you'll remember correctly, there were transfers all over on offense. Ryan Mallett, most notably, who was set to come in after Chad Henne transfers. So we're left with Stephen Threet, who seems like a nice guy. He once commented on one of my posts on Twitter. Seems like a heck of a nice guy, but as far as a quarterback, or at least a quarterback trying to run a Rich Rod offense, very much ill-equipped.
Yeah, someone needed to like bang on Rich Rod's head and tell him, like, this guy is not Pat White. This offense is not going to work here. You need to change something. But no, watching Stephen Threet run this offense was a test. Like, it was just a test, like, morally and like ethically. Like, can I watch this performance like continue? And he stayed in the game the whole time and somehow won.
It's bizarre. So let's get into this, my man. So let's start with kind of how we did it last time. Who are some of the players of note? Let's start with Michigan offense.
Sam McGuffey, the highly touted five-star, super highlight reel recruit, comes in, going to make a splash as a freshman, doesn't wear gloves on his hands, which bother me at running back for some reason, and was just not it. Was awful. Couldn't read blocks. Didn't have many blocks to read. When he did, couldn't make a miss. Every time he got touched, he kind of fell over. Just, you know, it wasn't it for Sam McGuffey at Michigan.
No, and I want to spend a minute on McGuffey because if you'll remember, this dude was the hype tape god back in the day. I mean, he was hurdling everyone, and he is an absolute athlete. You said that he was clocked at a 4.32?
Yep, at his pro day in 2013.
Yep, in his pro day at 2013, and he's an Olympic bobsledder currently. He has the job that, what was it, Julian from Cool Runnings did? He was the push man.
Senka, wasn't it?
No, Senka was
Senka's
the driver.
The brake man. Yul Brynner, yeah. And yeah, you're right, Julian. Good call.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, so, I mean, he was an absolute athlete, Sam McGuffey, but just maybe not a Big Ten football player. Didn't have the body for it, and really pretty ineffective in this game, but definitely worth note because, man, Michigan fans were all about Sam McGuffey. Other players, Stephen Threet. I mean, you have to say because he's the starting quarterback, so that makes him noteworthy. Roy Rountree and Junior Hemingway were on the team. You don't see much of them. A young David Mulk, though, getting run as a freshman and holding up remarkably well on that offensive line from what I could tell.
Yeah, Mulk was one of the few bright spots on that line. And also Brandon Miner at running back and Greg Matthews at receiver, some names I have not heard in a long, long time.
No, those were two names that I remember being high on. And I always liked Greg Matthews as a player. Very limited. Definitely not going to be one of the Michigan receivers you remember. He's no Braylon Edwards. But, I mean, he was a serviceable wide receiver, and he stuck around, you know, for the Rich Rod and the Rich Rod era. And, man, they lost so many players when he came in. And it is apparent on this in this game. So what about on the Wisconsin defense? There's some names there.
You walk us through the defense.
So the names that you're going to recognize, let's start with the most obvious one, which is J.J. Watt, a converted tight end who was listed as a defensive end for this game. I didn't really see him a lot in this game, though, did you?
I didn't either. He didn't flash to me at all.
No, not really. But, I mean, that was kind of J.J. Watt. He was a tight end forever, converts to a defensive end, and just becomes an absolute monster. I think his brother switched positions, too, while at Wisconsin. So kind of how they do it in the Watt family, but J.J. Watt is on this team. Peter Kahns went on to play in the NFL for a while. Defensive back Shane Carter led the Big Ten in interceptions the year before, and Casillas, their safety, made some big plays in this game, but not a bunch of huge names on the Wisco defense, really, outside of Watt.
But it seems like a classic Wisconsin defense, though. A bunch of no-names. They all try very hard. The second level, the linebackers are very athletic and get around and fly to the football. And as we talked about offline, Wisconsin football, offensively and defensively, has not changed in 12 years, but yet it's still effective.
It's unreal. We're watching this game from 2008, and you could convince me it was the 2018 Wisconsin offense. It is almost the exact same. Limited at quarterback, they want to run the ball, they have a dominant offensive line. I mean, it's pretty much the exact same thing you see now.
Very strange, but honestly, kudos to them for making it still work. Paul Chryst, the OC in this game, and now the head coach there, having it more success than Brett Bielema. I mean, it's nice to see Brett in this game.
Looks like he just polished off like six or seven turkey legs. Got grease dripping down the side of him. He's got a plate of ribs over there, you know, stacked on the clipboard, but he's there.
What did Brett Bielema do to become our favorite object of derision?
I have no idea. The guy looks like he knows his way around a snowblower, though.
Takes pride in that snowblower, son.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine that guy's somewhere like in a bar right now, just serving out some of the best brisket you can imagine. But
I feel like he looks at his son's friends and just like tells them, guys, let me tell you how the world works, and goes into something like that.
Yeah, yeah, he's that type of dude. But yeah, Brett Bielema over there calling the exact same offense that you see whatever. Notable players on the Michigan defense, though. There are some studs. I would say the best unit on the field this day might actually be the Michigan defense.
It absolutely was the Michigan defense. You can run through several names that stand out. I even caught a couple that ended up switching positions, but you have like the Mike Martins of the world, Brandon Graham, Stevie Brown, Jonas Mouton. Who else is on there?
Jameson, Troy yep. Woolfolk, yep. Donovan Warren.
Yep. Other players that recorded tackles in this game, more from special teams, Martavius Odoms, Daryl Stoneham, which eventually become contributing receivers.
Yeah, yeah. But this was still some holdovers from the Lloyd Carr era. A lot of good players here. Not too many Michigan defensive players transferred, I don't remember. So this unit is still strong. You got a bunch of Lloyd Carr guys, and I mean, they're just coming off a victory over Florida the year before, and you're bringing back a lot of guys. Young Mike Martin, young Brandon Graham, guys like Tim Jamison, Stevie Brown, underrated. I always loved Stevie Brown. He was one of my favorites. First of all, because that name just rolls off the tongue. Like a jazz trumpet player or something.
We should have done a double feature for contrast from the 07 Capital One Bowl to this game.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we'll do that for the next one.
That'd be a good one to go to. Bounce back. But how is this team just, you know, a few games before the other one? Like, I get it was a different season, but what happened?
What happened? Yeah. So Michigan defense has some studs on it. And finally, notable players on Wisconsin offense. Anybody that stood out to you?
Running back PJ Hill stood out. He, the guy was getting all the work in the world. The team was just living and dying on his shoulders. Allen Everidge at quarterback is not good by any means. He's bad. He missed several open receivers, was never comfortable back there. 20 of 37, 226, but it didn't seem that way at all. And who else was on that offense? They had Zach Brown had some rushing attempts. Receivers, there were Gilreath was a problem. The returner and receiver.
Yep, he was a problem. Nick Toon was on that team. He had a touchdown catch. Gabe Karimi went on to play in the NFL. Might still be in the NFL, honestly. Tight end Lance Kendricks. Yep. He went into the NFL. He had a great catch in this game. And not a guy that really has a huge impact, but they have a fullback whose last name is Rentmeister. And I just absolutely love that. That man probably lives on nothing but bratwurst and beer.
I'd be so disappointed if it's pronounced Rentmeister.
I think that's how they did pronounce it, actually, in the broadcast.
Let's just ignore that. It didn't happen.
I did ignore that, and I am ignoring that. Some game notes coming into this one. As you already mentioned, Wisconsin comes in ranked number 9. They're 3-0. Michigan unranked at 1-2. Brett Bielem on the sideline. Rich Rod in his third game. 500th game at the Big House, and the lights are being constructed in the background during this time. A little preview of what's to come at the Big House.
Yeah, you could say we were playing in the dark with that metaphor. These were the dark ages before the lights were there.
These literally were the dark ages. It was pretty rough. Final game note, coming into this game, Brett Bielema was 19-0 with a halftime lead and would go into halftime with a 19-0 lead. So also a little foreshadowing there. Let's get into this, my man. Let's talk about the game. Do you want to go quarter by quarter or just kind of do a more general talk?
Let's break it down quarter by quarter again with some general talk about each one, and we go through the plays.
All right, I like it. First quarter opens up. Gilreath, first play of the game, brings it back 55 yards, almost fumbles it later on the drive. Fumbles are going to be a recurring theme, and turnovers. Missed field goal, though, on that, so they drive all the way down there, and we're scoreless in the first.
Thing I hate the most in this is I hate the 3-3-5 defense. I hate it with a passion. I think it's stupid, and I was so mad to have to watch it.
It is awful, and it would only get worse from here. I mean, our defense was still decent at this point, but the more that they buy into that 3-3-5 and start to switch that, the worse it gets.
Yeah, and another note from the first quarter that mentioned on the broadcast, Michigan is playing with no offensive lineman over 300 pounds, and Stephen Threet finished the quarter with a very impressive 2-for-2, 100% completion percentage, minus 7 yards.
This game, like we said at the beginning, there are all sorts of just crazy outliers in this game. That 2-for-2 for minus 7 yards. What does that make your QBR? I don't even know. Is it a perfect QBR or is it awful? I don't know.
I have no idea. But this is also the same quarter where John Thompson jumps off sides and prolongs a drive and they get a field goal out of it. Like, it was like, come on. It's a fourth down.
It was sloppy in the first. There was a play, I think, on our first drive. Stephen Threed attempts to take off at the speed of smell and gets absolutely rocked.
Ball to Wisconsin. That drove me nuts. He wants to go in there and make contact like he's a middle schooler at a dance and then just falls over.
He was not built for that. And he ran in there, like, didn't try and slide or anything. And you could see it coming. You're like, this is going to be bad. And lo and behold, Stephen Threed gets destroyed from three different ways. Fumbles it, sets Wisco up in field position. They settle for three. It's 3-0. The ensuing kickoff, Michigan special teams fumbles it for the first time. I think they how many special teams plays did they fumble? 3 or 4?
I think it was at least 3.
Michigan special teams are atrocious in this game. And, I mean, it gets no better. We do nothing in the first quarter. And at one point, 4 of 7 plays had gone for no gain or a loss.
It's honestly comical watching this. Like, how did this happen? This team looks like they have never been coached before. They learned the offense that week. Nobody knows what they're doing. They're undisciplined. And they're relying on Steve Threet and Sam McGuffey to lead the way. And it's just not it. And they keep going back to him over and over again.
Yeah, they keep going back to the well, and the well is dry. I mean, the well was dry long before this game began, but it just gets worse and worse. And the first quarter is, I mean, there's really nothing to speak of for the Michigan offense. So we can go to the second quarter, but let's first take a quick break. We'll come back, finish this masterpiece in nonsense that is the 08 Michigan-Wisconsin game right after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, welcome back to Out of the Blue. We are mercilessly breaking down the 2008 Michigan-Wisconsin game. Just got through the first quarter. End of the first quarter, it is 6-0 Wisconsin, and Michigan looks like maybe the worst team that's ever been on a football field, ever.
It's arguably the worst Michigan team I've ever seen, and I don't know what team you'd argue it against. This was just embarrassing to watch.
It's this or Hoke's final year.
I would take that hoax final year team minus 10 against this team.
Easily.
Yep.
They would beat the brakes off of that team. Now, this defense is solid, as we said. So as we get into the second quarter, honestly, it should have been a lot worse. But because of the Michigan defense, they keep us in this. So second quarter, Zoltán Mezco is the best Michigan offense up to this point. And let's spend a minute on Zoltán Mezco. Maybe the best name to ever come through Michigan.
Absolutely. An absolute unit. He has 8 punts in this game for 348 yards, averaged almost 44 yards a punt, knocked a 53-yarder in there. The best weapon on the offense the entire game.
Which is bizarre, but yes, it was Zoltán Mezco, and gosh, I just love saying that name. Who decided to name their child in America Zoltán? That is the name of an alien space captain.
I was gonna say, well, he is. He's from like a long line of emperors from like a third planet, a third moon of Mars or something. Came down here to rule us with his punting leg.
That's the only thing that makes even a little sense.
Yeah, nothing else. Like, all right, your last name's Mezco. Let me think here. Adam, Charles, Zoltán.
There it is. There it is. But yeah, Zoltán Mezco is the best player on the field up to this point. But to be honest, Wisconsin having trouble getting anything going. They can't really get it into the end zone. Michigan pretty tough in the red zone. They get a huge turnover from Charles Stewart on a deflection. It feels like at this point, the Michigan defense is good despite the coaching, not because of it. Like, it's just left over from Lloyd Carr, and these guys are not even listening to the coaches and like, no, no, no. We remember how to play defense. Don't listen to anything they say.
here are three stats to back up your point about the Michigan defense doing more than they needed to do. Michigan's offense had 19 total yards halfway through the second quarter. Michigan was averaging 1.1 yard per play in the second quarter. The first time Michigan got the ball in Wisconsin territory was because of a fumble that the Michigan defense caused in the second quarter.
Yes, that would be Stevie Brown, underrated name on the team. And one of my, he was one of my favorites. I don't know why I loved Stevie Brown so much. Maybe it was just because of the name, but real solid safety for Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, he got the ball in Wisconsin territory. Stephen Threet couldn't do that, for God's sakes.
No, he could not. But yeah, so the defense is rising up in the second quarter, but the offense remains unwatchable. Stephen Threet attempts a pitch to McGuffey while being eaten alive, nearly turns it over again. Michigan punts again. And punts, and the defense, Jameson, Graham, Mouton, they stuff PJ Hill and John Clay on the next drive, which is kind of just the story of this game.
Yeah, it's stopping Michigan running backs, and they have a semi-competent quarterback that could make plays. This is exactly what happened in 2016 when we beat him 14-7.
Like we were saying, the team hasn't really changed their game plan, so the game plan to beat them hasn't really changed. It was the exact same in this game. Shut down PJ Hill and make their extremely limited quarterback beat you.
Yeah, it's not rocket science here. It's not like you're playing Ohio State and there's some complex like route schemes and everything else with who the quarterback's reading and three different fakes. No, Wisconsin's like, we're going to run the ball, and we can't do that. We hope our quarterback can throw it, which he may not be able to do.
No, because other than Russell Wilson, they've never really had one. So they stuff PJ Hill and John Clay, force another punt to Greg Matthews, fumbles the punt return for another turnover. Special teams at this point looks like the worst unit on the field.
Special teams was... It's hard to imagine.
Zoltan, but
yeah, besides Zoltan, everybody else, all the returns were terrible. I mean, everything was awful. And we take for granted how good Michigan special teams are now. Man, they were just atrocious. They were abominable in this game. Like,
they couldn't even get a guy to catch the ball, let alone turn it upfield and make a return. They're dropping it all over. They tried a bunch of different returners in this game. They even put like Donovan Warren back there, who at this point was like a junior or a senior. Even he had trouble with it. So it was bad. As bad as the offense was, the special teams may have been worse. So Wisconsin takes the ball over there after the fumble. John Clay rumbles for 30 yards, sets up PJ Hill for the first touchdown of the day. It's 13-0.
At this point, it's getting bad. Fans are getting antsy. Air's getting sucked out of the stadium. I had to double check that we won this game while watching this. I'm like, we don't get blown out like 38-0, right?
Yeah, you would think, because the next play is a kickoff to Morgan Trent, who fumbles it again. That's another turnover on back-to-back Michigan touches. It doesn't even make sense at this point how you can be that bad at catching a football. I mean, I'm not in any way athletic, but I feel like if you kicked a football at me and I got to settle under it, I'd probably catch it.
I would, five out of ten times. I'd bet on you. You'd make this catch, and then Wisconsin tacks on a field goal, 16-0.
Yep, Michigan gets it back. Three and out for the fourth time in a row when Michigan gets it back. So that's four in a row that they go three and out. It's unwatchable. The fans are getting antsy, noticeably and deservedly so. Next Michigan possession after the three and out, Stephen Threet throws a pick to Shane Carter. And at this point, it's the worst team I've ever seen. I mean, watching it at this game, you're like, there is no way this team could ever beat anybody. UTEP would score 50 on them.
Yeah, because he throws that pick with like 40 seconds to go in the first half. And it's like, oh, the clock's going to run. Nope. They're going to score again. And they do. It's 19-0. And now listen, I'm never for booing college players, but I am for booing college coaches. And they deserved it in this one.
They did. And actually, it could have been much worse, because, yeah, there's that interception. They go up 19 now. With 4 seconds left, though, another awful interception. One of the worst interceptions I've ever seen. And it almost goes the distance and puts the game completely out of reach. 4 seconds left. I think Stephen Threet had to make the tackle and time expires, but could have easily been 26-0 going into the half.
It was the most embarrassing Michigan half I've ever seen. Like Alabama, we got blown out in 2012, whenever it was. Any other time, no. This half is just almost unwatchable.
It's bad, and they get booed going into halftime. They come out third quarter, and they start to play a little bit better. They get their second first down of the day, and the crowd erupts. It's one good play, three bad ones, and a punt. Zoltan Mesko really working the hip flexors.
On the broadcast, they said Michigan's punter is going to need a hip replacement surgery from all the work he's gotten today.
I caught it. Yeah, that was glorious. It was a good call on this game. Who was it? It was Nessler was on the call. It was good. I enjoyed listening to that. But Michigan defense, once again, Wisconsin with chances to put this game out of reach cannot, because Michigan defense is just stuffing them. The front seven led by Jamison, Graham, Mouton. I mean, they're just keeping Michigan in striking distance. And then with about 6 minutes left in the third, Michigan puts together a drive primarily through the air. Threat to Greg Matthews sets up threat to Kevin Coger, a young Kevin Coger, for 26 yards and a touchdown. It's 19-7. Wisconsin leads.
Before that touchdown, quick Stephen Threat update. Steve Threat was 4 of 12 for 7 yards with 2 picks. And right before that touchdown as well, with 5:46 to go in the third, Michigan's average third down distance to go was 9.5 yards.
That doesn't even seem possible. If I'm calling the offense just with whoever you give me, we're going to be able to fall forward for more than a foot and a half.
We could play offense with Chris Evans and Carlo Kemp in the backfield and do better than this.
Guaranteed. I'm getting more than a foot and a half. That's absurd. So third quarter, it's somehow 19-7. Stephen Threat is awful. Defense is keeping us in it. No offense, Stephen Threat, if you ever happen to hear this. I doubt it. But then again, he responded to a tweet one time about him, so you never know what he's up to these days.
I'll make sure I tag him in the back end.
Yeah, there you go. Please do. Fourth quarter, we're going into the fourth here. Threat update, he is 9 for 24 for 63 yards, 2 interceptions, 1 touchdown, and a fumble that was recovered by Michigan. It's not good, folks. Start of the fourth, Threat misses a wide open Greg Matthews streaking down the sideline. It would have been like a 75-yard touchdown, just overthrew him a little bit. Matthews lays out for it. No fault of his own, but, just the quarterback play wasn't there.
That's a nice way of saying that. The quarterback play wasn't there. You think there wasn't a quarterback on the field for Michigan?
That part was nice, but we haven't been nice the rest of the podcast. So
that's a fair point. Again, Steve Threat, I'm sorry, but we're just speaking facts here. Yeah, that was a bad miss. Credit to Greg, man. He did everything he could in this game to help this Michigan team.
Yeah, I like Greg Matthews. He was a solid receiver for us, and when the ball was catchable, he did what he could, but that one was a little long for him. Once again, Michigan defense stands up. Wisconsin can't get anything going in the second half. At one point, we'll wait until after this drive that we describe here. They start tossing it all over, Michigan does, trying to come back. They draw a fortuitous roughing the passer call on another third and long, which sets up Brandon Miner, 34-yard rushing touchdown. Probably the best offensive play of the day. You can make an argument for it. Brandon Miner looks like the best tailback, though. Looks like the only real tailback Michigan has. It's 19-14, and the crowd is back into it. It sounds great in the big house.
Yeah, Brandon Miner was the best tailback on the field the entire game for Michigan, but they kept just trying to feed Sam McGuffey, feed the talented freshman. No, feed the guy that's producing. This is when, like, you get starry-eyed or hung up on practice, who did what there. Who does what in the game? That's all that matters. And Brandon Miner came out, had a great run. I probably rewatched that play 3 or 4 times because it was something positive for once.
Yeah, absolutely. And there could be some of that Rich Rod really wanting to get his guys in there. Brandon Miner being a holdout from the Lloyd Carr era, but he was the better tailback and should have been getting more run in this game. Next play from scrimmage after that touchdown, it is a tipped ball into the hands of John Thompson, who is a caravan of extremely large men that lead him back to the end zone. They attempt a 2-point conversion, but Stephen Threat thinks he's Denard Robinson. It's 20-19 Michigan. Stephen Threat attempts to change direction a few times in this game, and it's kind of hilarious.
He doesn't even throw the damn ball up. He just holds it.
And he holds it, and he tries to make this cut as though he were athletic, and it is like the worst cut. Like, he completely comes to a stop, makes this cut. A few seconds pass, a light breeze whips through the stadium, programs are being handed out, a man buys a hot dog, and then he cuts back the other direction and just gets absolutely annihilated.
God, it's like, I didn't know you had metal legs, Steve Threat. Is it Oscar Pistorius playing quarterback? Like, what are you doing? Just throw the damn ball.
Pistorius would have been chopping up the field with them legs. Are you kidding me?
That's
Stephen Threat is as mobile as the Statue of David. It's bad, but it's 20-19 Michigan. Somehow it is 20-19 Michigan. D-line stands tall again. Tim Jamison was a beast. He might not get the award for player of the game, but he's right up there. He had a great game in this one. I remember him being a stud. I don't remember if he ever really had much of an NFL career to speak of, but he was a beast.
He was all over the tape on this one on rewatch. The Michigan front seven just really impressed me in this game with what they had to work with. Because, I mean, they completely took out PJ Hill, forced the ball into their quarterback's hands. And granted, it's hard to stand on your head the entire game when your offense is so flaccid.
Yeah. Flaccid is a good description of this offense. And that's saying something because we're over here watching the Michigan offense and the Wisconsin offense, while better, is quite flaccid.
Yes.
D-line stands tall, shuts down the rushing attack. Michigan gets the ball back, and I believe it's the first play or second play on the next drive, a very familiar play that you're going to see a lot of over the next 4 years. Stephen Threet goes 58 yards on the quarterback option. Maybe the only time he keeps it in these QB options, which you'll start to see a lot more of, especially recently. But it was a great read to pull it. Sam McGuffey goes wide. He goes 58 yards through the seam, and that sets us up for Sam McGuffey to get in for six. The Wonder Kid.
The Wonder Kid. You had no idea we had Lamar Jackson light on this team, baby. 58 yards rumbling, bumbling down the sideline. Oh, that was hard. That was hard to watch.
Yeah, that was. I mean, it was some bumbling. Stephen Threet gets going. But, I mean, if you get past the second level, it's tough to get angles. And Stephen Threet is probably faster than me. That's really saying something. But
I will race Steve. Steve Threet, where you at? I will race you.
All right. I will definitely pay whatever the pay-per-view cost to watch you race Stephen Threet.
Call those people.
Throw a horse in there too, just to make it interesting. Andy versus Stephen Threet and a horse.
That's what we do. We don't have Michigan football. We just set up races, you know, interspecies races with Steve Threet and a horse.
Look, give me something. I don't care what it is.
I will pay money for it.
But anyway, Sam McGuffey gets, I don't know if this was his first score of the year or not. I didn't look back at the other awful games that Michigan played in 2008, but he goes in for six. It's 27-19 Michigan. And at this point, Wisconsin has 50 yards in the second half compared to Michigan's 250. And I don't know what's going on.
No, it makes no sense. We have the lead by 8 points. I'm like, hold on. We do? We're winning the game? Like, I feel, it makes no sense. Like it's Zoolander. Who's winning the match? I couldn't believe it.
Oh, man. So 4 minutes left. Wisco puts a drive together. They're mostly through the air at this point. They've given up on the running game with time running down. They're down. They get it in. They move down the field. Couple questionable plays there, particularly what looked like an incomplete pass, ruled as a complete pass. They get the drive going. They get it in. They score a touchdown and need to go for two. Oh, excuse me. I am getting this out of order. First, Brandon Graham will get to sing his song if you want to walk us through that.
Yeah, so Wisconsin gets the ball down to the Michigan 8. Looks like a score is inevitable. Boom. Brandon Graham forced fumble with under 2 minutes to go. Huge play. Michigan gets the ball back, does nothing with it again. Punts the ball on the very first play of Wisconsin's hopeful game-tying drive. Another Brandon Graham sack to set the tone.
Back-to-back sacks on back-to-back plays. Going back to that play on the 8-yard line, Brandon Graham with the best pass rush of the day by far gets low on the edge with that Josh Uche bend, forces the fumble coming around. Looks like an absolute terror. Just a preview of what's to come with Brandon Graham, who looks like the best player on the field. Wisco, though, at the end, Michigan tries to run three straight running plays, but Wisconsin had kept all three timeouts. I will say the only coaching decision I agreed with from Rich Rod all day was to run the ball three times there and put the ball in the hands of the defense to win it, because you do not want Stephen Threet throwing anything at this point.
No, you don't even want Stephen Threet trying to throw the game, because that would be intercepted.
You know, I'm throwing in the towel.
No, don't do that. Wouldn't make it past the sideline. So, yes, the best coaching call of the entire day was to just run the ball three times and punt it and let the defense carry us home.
That was. But the defense does not carry us home. Next play, however, Brandon Graham, another sack, back-to-back plays. Once again, just asserting himself as the best player on the field. Everidge, the quarterback for Wisconsin, having a rough, rough day. I mean, he was getting brutalized by Brandon Graham, Jonas Mouton, Stevie Brown laid some wood on him. Beast mode for the Michigan defense here late in the game. Everidge responds, though, drives them down and scores with 13 seconds left on the clock. hits Travis Beckham for the two-point conversion. It's 27-27, but there's an ineligible receiver downfield, five-yard penalty, and they retry the down. And then Everidge remembers he's not a very good quarterback, throws it out of the back of the end zone. That is game for the second biggest comeback in Michigan history, 27-25.
And we beat a top 10 ranked team with Steve Threet. Final update, going 12 for 31, 96 yards. For you at home, that's 3.1 yards per attempt. For a completed attempt, averages 0.8 total per attempt, one tutty, two picks.
And put the ball on the ground on a fumble. And yeah, rough day. Oh, he was our leading rusher too, though. Let's not leave that out.
Yeah, don't sleep on that. Steve Threet, the running threat here, led Michigan with 89 yards. He averaged more rushing with 9.9 per carry than he did passing.
It's unbelievable. And Steven Threet, as we said, is as mobile as my desk.
Steven Threet with a good running start can beat a table in a race.
I've seen it. Oh my god, yeah. So it was I'm so glad we went from that last game to this one, because I was just cracking up watching this whole time. And it was good because, like, Michigan will never be this bad again, or at least we shouldn't. I'm knocking on my desk right now, but this was the worst Michigan team that I've ever seen.
It's embarrassing to watch. I'm surprised they won three games. I can't believe they won this one when they had no business to do such things. Just weird, man. I'll safely say, without even knocking on wood, no Michigan team will be this bad again. Like, that was just awful, terrible to watch. And they won.
They did. And I think the reason they were so terrible was all on the offense, all on the coaching. Brad Nessler made a call earlier in the game. He's like, this is like watching an offense that has training wheels on. And I was like, yeah, that about sets it up, because you're trying to put in this new system. And I don't know how we ever went for this. I mean, because it would have been 3 years before you would ever have a chance to be good going this route, completely changing up everything that you're trying to do, going small on the offensive line, going to a 3-3-5 on defense, recruiting a bunch of tiny, tiny dudes that are kind of quick to play in the Big Ten. I don't know how I ever got sold on this as something that would work with Rich Rod in Michigan.
Everybody was so high because Rich Rod was a Pat McAfee missed field goal away from going to the national championship the year before. And everyone was so high on it. This is how they're going to do it. They're going to come here, come to Michigan, take over for Lloyd Carr. But no, like, the change was way too dramatic at the time. Didn't have the personnel. And it's funny, though, how Lloyd Carr's former players are the ones that get it done here. And it's Rich Rod's former players that really get it done for Brady Hoke his first year.
See, I don't know about that, because the guys that I really remember are Mike Martin, David Molk,
Denard Kevin Robinson.
Denard Robinson, yes. Yes, Denard Robinson.
Junior Hemingway.
Yes. But I mean, Mike Martin and David Molk were the heart and soul of that team.
They were, but he also ran Rich Rod's offense pretty much with Denard Robinson and his pieces.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, look.
I'm not a Rich Rod defender by any means.
No, but he did bring us Denard Robinson, and I'm all right with that. One of my all-time favorites. So that is Rich Rod's legacy. But all right, man, you want to do some awards for this thing?
Here we go. All right, I'm going to throw some at you. If you have any nominees, please send them my way. Let's start with Mazen Hou, the Unsung Hero Award. Well, there's not too many options. I'm going to give you two. I'm going to give you Greg Matthews for all the work he put in at receiver with a lot of balls not to be able to work with.
Yep.
And Brandon Miner.
Yeah, Brandon Miner. I mean, those guys, I won't necessarily say unsung. Brandon Miner had one of the biggest plays of the game. I would throw a guy in there, maybe somebody on defense, like Stevie Brown or Jonas Mouton. Mouton's name gets called quite a bit. What about maybe Terrence Taylor in there? He had a couple big plays. I think he had
eight tackles.
Didn't he recover that fumble? No, it was Johnson.
And Charles Stewart would be a good one, too. Four tackles and a pick.
Yeah, Charles Stewart with a big pick. I'd probably go somebody on the defense. I think the defense had a better all-around day, and a lot of guys contributed in some way, shape, or form. So I would go with maybe Charles Stewart or one of the unheralded offensive linemen, maybe Terrence Taylor or Tim Jamison.
Yeah, I like Charles Stewart. Charles Stewart's good, or Stevie Brown. He forced that fumble, didn't he?
Yes.
Or no, they didn't credit it to him. They credited Brandon Graham's not unsung, but he was credited with two forced fumbles. What an animal.
I believe, yeah, I watched that, but it looked like Stevie Brown forced the one fumble. To me, it looked like number six got in there.
Yeah, we'll give it to Charles Stewart, though.
Okay, yeah, I'm fine with that. What else you got?
All right, favorite player sequence. Threat's first touchdown pass to Kevin Koger, just because it felt like a relief that touchdowns do exist. Brandon Miner for the first touchdown, and then immediately into the Josh Thompson pick six. So Brandon Miner goes for 34 yards in the touchdown. The very next play, Josh Thompson's pick six.
And that's your winner.
That right has to there. Be the winner. The other one's only is Threat's 58-yard rush.
Or you could go with Brandon Graham, sack, forced fumble.
That's it. The sack's back-to-back. But I think it has to be Brandon Miner, then the pick six.
Yeah, it is. That completely swung the game, took all the wind out of Wisconsin's sails. So I would say that one wins it running away.
All right. The Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr. Award for Excellence. We have two nominees. That's it. Yep. That is it. It is Brandon Graham, who's going to win it. And out of respect, Zoltán Mesko.
Zoltán. I do love Zoltán, but it's Brandon Graham. I would say there's two other nominees that aren't just the player. One would be just the entire front seven in this game was excellent.
Fair.
Tim Jamison, Brandon Graham, all those guys, Jonas Mouton, Obi Ize had a pretty good game. So that would be one. Or Lloyd Carr for leaving the cupboard stocked enough to have a defense.
Thank you, Lloyd. We appreciate you so much. I miss you most days. Thank you.
Yes. I mean, even though at the end I was at the Appalachian State game yelling that he needed to take the catheter out of his neck, but I was still a fan of Lloyd Carr when it's all said and done. But
we've all made mistakes. We're not proud of everything we've done.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and I didn't know how bad things could get, so I apologize, Lloyd. But the winner for excellence in this is without a doubt Brandon Graham. Yeah, he was the best player on the field, I would say. Well, J.J. Watt was probably the best player on the field, but not this day.
No. All right. My favorite category for this game. I wish I could nominate the entire game. The bonehead moment of the game. I have five nominees. Fifth-year senior, John Thompson, jumping way off sides on 4th-and-1. This guy jumped over the pile. Like, just jumped over it.
With contact. Yeah, that was pretty bad. That was early on in the game. He makes up for it later in the game, though.
With the pick six, he does. He bounces back. We talked about this once, but it had to be a nominee. Three awkwardly making contact, running into somebody, and then just fumbling the football.
Stephen Threat thinking that he could just charge into a bunch of linebackers and defensive linemen, standing completely upright. Really dumb, first of all, because I'm surprised he didn't break every bone in his body. And second of all, you're not Cam Newton.
This ain't prep school, homie.
Yeah, pretty bad.
Next one, Threat not throwing the ball up on a 2-point conversion and just falling over. Not what you want.
No, is that the one where he tried to make the cut and it took like 6 minutes from when he planted to when he changed directions?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
The man has really slow hips. Rich Rod riding McGuffey over Brandon Miner.
Oh, that's bad. Yeah. All right, what's the last one?
The winner. Wisconsin ineligible receiver downfield on the game-tying 2-point conversion.
It's got to be that one because Wisconsin had no business losing this game. More than Michigan won this, Wisconsin lost this. And that one was a big one. I mean, that would have tied the game, and we were not built for overtime.
No, this game was not a contest of who can win. It was who can lose first. And both teams went back and forth for a while, but Wisconsin ultimately found the way in the end.
Yes, absolutely. I will give you one more. Category here, and that is the Zoltán Mesko Award for Excellence in Name. I've got a few options for you. Zoltán Mesko, Boubacar Sissoko, Stevie Brown, or Rentmeister.
I mean, I feel like I have to go with Zoltán, for which the award is named. That's like Fred Biletnikoff not winning the Biletnikoff Award. Like, what the hell, guys? But there's, what was the second name you said?
Boubacar Sissoko.
Yeah, any other name, any other day, that's the winner. That is fan. Boubacar, absolutely. What about Obi Ize?
Obi Ize is pretty strong, but I mean, I like Stevie Brown more than that. He's like a jazz pianist.
But
I like it.
That's almost like Obi Ize, though. It's Obi Ize.
Oh, that is nice. It's smooth. It's smooth, but it is the Zoltán Mesko Award for Excellence in Names. So, as you said, it has to go to him.
It's his title to defend. We're going to keep this category moving forward.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Maybe the best name in Michigan history. I'd have to really go back and look and see who else we got.
Slept on name is honestly Jake Butt. Like, come on. The guy, like, pretty straightforward vanilla, but the way he gets over Butt and the Twitter handle is Jay Booty. Come on.
Yeah. It'd almost be funnier if his name were even more simple, like Ted Butt or like Tim Butt. But yeah.
Name's Bill. Bill Butt.
Bill Butt. Yeah. I love Jay Booty. We always stand for Jay Booty on this podcast.
If you have any names we've missed out, please nominate them. Just tag Jared on Twitter.
I'm sure there's some names from like the 60s or 70s that we just don't know that were probably killers. But yeah, now, I mean, I don't know who's taking the award if we get a season this year, but Osman Savage is certainly right up there.
Osman Savage has to be in consideration. What a... Oh, man. Oh, I remember Michigan football.
Yes. Maybe one day we'll get to talk about current players, my friend. We'll see. They were supposed to be a vote today. I think that it's all just nonsense at this point. No one knows what's happening, but we'll be here talking about all this older nonsense until the current nonsense is cleared up, because that's what we have on our plate.
That we do. And thankfully, our next game lined up, I believe, is the 2007 Capital One Bowl.
Yes, I think that we should do that, unless John Jansen steals our idea and goes with that one next. But he knows we started this first, Mr. Jansen. I'm a huge fan, though. So
Yeah, big fan. But you saw who put it out first last week, John. You see that?
Yeah, and he'll probably do like the great games, the actual classics. We're coming at you with like 2013 Illinois-Michigan, which had like 150 points.
We're going 2015 Indiana, where it goes triple overtime, and it's just all offense while our defense is getting mauled for three bills on the ground.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to look at some of the less heralded games. So, yeah, Capital One Bowl next week. I love it. I'm definitely down for that one, my friend.
Can't wait to watch that one, man. Nothing can be worse than watching the first half of this game. I would rather watch Suicide Squad again than watch the first half of this game again.
Yes, and next week we get to watch Tim Tebow get planted in the ground and Urban Meyer's heart palpitations really start to show up on field.
God, Tim Tebow's only bowl loss in his Heisman Trophy season. I love it.
Can't wait, sir. All right, that's going to do it for us on Out of the Blue. Make sure that you like, share, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, and more. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Maize and Brew. I am Jared. That is Andy. This is Out of the Blue. We'd like to remind you that wherever you go, go blue.